listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's The Newsroom After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's The Newsroom After Show.
Oh.
Hey, guys.
There it is.
I was waiting for the music to start because it's not epic until it starts. Hey, guys. Welcome to another episode of AfterBuzz. Bing is for doing, and we're doing another AfterBuzz of TV's The Newsroom. It's season one, episode 9. I'm new at this. And I am Kristen Carroll, and I'm joined in the studio by...
Chandra Cavasaugh.
Sarah Mendoza here.
And then, of course, we have our lovely other co-host who's in Texas right now on the phone with us. Hey, Kelly.
Hi, everybody.
Glad you could join us.
Oh, me too.
We miss you in studio,
we
though.
We do.
Oh, I know. This is such a crazy episode.
It really is. No, it's the continuation. It's the blackout part two, the mock debate. And it starts off, as we saw last episode, that the entire newsroom goes completely black because the power goes out. And it's right after Mackenzie asks, you know, am I doing the right thing? Because they have Sandy, who's going to show more of her tweets with Anthony Weiner. And they're all very hesitant to do that. That is not part of Newsroom 2.0. And the power goes out right when she's asking, am I doing the right thing? And then it continues where she goes in there and they're all in a panic. Will comes in and goes, the power's out.
Right. So she takes it as a sign from God that, no, she's not doing the right thing. She shouldn't be reporting this, like, entertainment type of news rather than reporting actual news. And she kind of takes it the opportunity then to say, all right, guys, we can do this. We're going to put on a real newscast. We're going to go downstairs and we're not going to, you know, we're throwing out what we were going to do with the rundown with, you know, Anthony Weiner and Casey Anthony and whatever. And she takes that opportunity, or she was trying to at least, you know, get back to the Newsnight 2.0 mantra.
Exactly. And if the power is out in the building, they're going to go and they're going to do it outside and they're going to bring a camera and microphones. And she has this big, lovely Aaron Sorkin speech going on.
Right. Until
her mission until the lights come back on.
Right.
Exactly. She says, I said the power going out is, oh, son of a bee.
Yeah.
Because just as she's riled everybody up and everybody's excited, they want to get back to Newsnight 2.0 and sit on their mission to civilize. All of a sudden, they're ready to go and the lights come back on.
So they're not meant to civilize.
Right. No, they're not. Now they have to go on and do the pre-tape with Sandy talking about the steamy sexting and tweets that's going on with Anthony Weiner.
Exactly. And continue their Casey
Anthony
coverage.
She's so close to taking it to Fox.
Yeah, exactly. All because they have higher ratings anyways.
Right.
So they were going to go and do that. And, of course, they have to go back to what they deem as selling out, which is something that makes them all very uncomfortable. And you can just tell in the newsroom nobody wants to do that.
No.
That is not something they planned at all.
Sandy was so annoying to me. You know, it's obvious. She just wants to be famous. You know, like, she probably never really cared about that relationship. No. She's just a sexting little diva who wants to use that to, you know, be all over the tabloids and the media and be on TV and talk about that affair. You know, it's not coming from a good place. And we see that a lot in our actual news.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually brought that to light in this episode.
Yeah, and that they're just doing it so that they can get back to what they think is the most important thing, which is to these debates and kind of bringing that back around. And, you know, the ends justify the means. Mm-hmm. And their end is to get this debate going with the Republican committee. And what do you guys think about that? Do you think it was a good thing for them to go through with the Anthony Weiner and Casey Anthony trials in order to get this debate, which was built up where, as we found out, doesn't even work out for them.
Well, I think they're doing what they have to do. They're being forced to do this so that ratings will, you know, not dip again, because people are turning the channel because society nowadays wants to see that kind of thing on. They're all about the gossip and the scandal, and, you know, people's lives are what we want to see for news rather than the actual, you know, issues that are going on in our society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the ongoing debate of, you know, entertainment. Do we keep the ratings or do we let them go? And I think Will is still concerned with the ratings, you know, in the back of his mind. So,
well, because of the fact that Leona, you know, she's looking for any reason to fire Will. And if they're getting low ratings, that's going to be the thing that she can, you know, say, you know, we have grounds now to fill her, fire Will McAvoy. Yeah, he's not bringing any viewers.
He's basically doing her job for him.
I don't think he's really that concerned with it, though. I don't think that's right. I think his focus is more on getting that debate. Mm-hmm. And because he wants to make a difference and change the way these candidates are questioned. And it goes back to the Newsnight 2.0, like changing the way news is done. And I think that means more to him than actually the ratings as far as Leona is concerned. They needed the big ratings in order to get these people to have the debate on that network.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily much to do with her and firing. I don't really think that's on the top of his list right now.
And then if he's not there, they can't do the debates the correct way because nobody can interrogate these candidates like Will can.
You're right. It's more about the debate than it is the ratings. But I think, you know, at least you can see that Mackenzie's concerned with it.
Well, as you saw when the guys who came in there, the ones that Will knew that were in charge of the debates on where they were going to put it, immediately when they sat down, Will and Mackenzie go, you noticed our ratings have been up. And they're like, oh, yeah, we almost pulled it for another network. So that was an important part for them because they don't want to put a huge debate on there on a network that's not getting any ratings. Mm-hmm. They're going to give it to somebody else.
They're going to give it to what's her name? And now I'm going to
Nancy Grace. Yeah. Yeah, they said that. We almost gave Nancy Grace the debate based on the Casey Anthony trials.
Right.
So you don't want something like that happening.
No. So that goes back to, you know, all the things that we deal with in entertainment, whether it's, you know, when you're passionate about something and you want to do something a right way, I mean, it begs the question. Unfortunately, being, you know, passionate about something and having a drive and fully doing what you believe in, when you're working for someone else, you really don't have that luxury to go all the way. There are too many factors you have to take into consideration. And it kind of puts, you know, the journalistic integrity on the line because you're not really going with your gut. You're going with what you kind of have to do to appease these people that you work for. So it's a very fine line that you have to walk in order to still uphold your reputation as a serious journalist and also having to give in to the ratings and the buyouts and advertising and all of that.
Right.
Absolutely. So he gets these debates and they come in there and the entire newsroom had worked really hard. They had sweatshirts made with names on there.
I'm smiling at that.
They had rehearsed for 2 months, you know, did their mock debates even while they're at the bar, you know, trying to practice for this.
I really like that Jim was Michelle Bachman. I don't know why that cracked me up the most. So they go up
there.
But
I mean, what do you guys think about it, though? Would you, as a voter, if you were to watch a debate in the style that they wanted to do that, I mean, that was harsh to watch, even the mock debate. I mean, is that something that you as a voter would want? Somebody like your candidates, because it is pretty much a little bit of an interrogation.
Right.
I don't mind it if it's done on both sides. I say interrogate both aspects. You can't really have a mock, obviously, debate if it's just Obama against himself.
Right.
But you can have, you know, then have an interview followed up maybe that way. And I think then it becomes a newscast that's supposed to be not one side or the other. Otherwise, it does look like he is just attacking the Republican side.
Right.
You know, which, as we know, he's a registered Republican and all that. So he doesn't mean to do that. But it comes off that way when it's only one-sided like that.
As
I like the idea of making people accountable for what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
When you're on a campaign and you're giving all of these speeches and you have these speech writers that are writing all of these well-tested positive phrases to say to get people on your side, I think it wouldn't be necessarily a bad idea to hold people accountable for that. Remember on this day when you said this? What does that mean?
Mm-hmm. And to put those ideas in the minds of the viewers.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Because these people are going to be running our country. Why is it so wrong to ask those, to ask those hard questions?
Right. And I agree, as a voter, I would want the hard questions to be asked. I saw more of the style in which those questions were being asked, because when you watch political debates, I feel like people do go there. It's just a little bit more, there's more of a structure to it, you know, mm-hmm. whereas here it sounded like they even said they were talking about we're bringing them to court, you know, and they kind of just steamrolled all these questions to the candidates, and it was, yes, very uncomfortable, but at the same time, we wanted to know the answer, you know, like we wanted to see, you know, mm-hmm. separate the men from the boys, like who can actually respond to these questions, you know what they're talking about and not just be BSing, because he was going there, you know, I don't even remember the questions that he was asking, but you know, in that kind of situation, you force people to answer, you know, from what they really feel, because it's impromptu, it's stuff that, you know, that's not cookie cutter, you know, let's give a polite answer type of deal. He was really going there, and it was, you know, it was uncomfortable for me, but
they didn't have a time to read their script with his questioning.
Right. They didn't give them time to plan their answers out.
Mm-hmm.
So it really was that lawyer, you know, talking to the guy on the stand.
Do you think that Will kind of steamrolled
them
over
questions
them?
Questions about things that they had already said, though, right?
Sorry, what was that?
Like statements that they had already made. They were basically asking questions about statements that they had already made. Isn't that kind of what he was doing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What I heard was that the questions they were asked, or in the way that they responded, was in a way that, you know, they observed previous debates, previous interviews, and they took from those previous interviews, you know, what they thought the candidate would answer, and that's how they geared their questions with a mm-hmm. debate.
Well, I think Will's such a strong personality, too, that sometimes he does come off a little harsh, and I think that was another, perhaps, problem with the debate was that, not that he should be nicer like he used to be. I think the questioning was good, but it did kind of turn into the Will McAvoy show, which is what it is. That's why you tune in, is for that. But I think they were a little bit nervous on how that was being approached. And do you think it was the Will steamrolling the entire candidates, or do you think it was justified in how it would have been presented?
Well, it's tough because he already has that reputation, you know? So people are automatically going to connect Will McAvoy with that type of steamrolling, very harsh type of, you know, interviewing on air. So although I thought the questions were warranted, it's just even more intense and and uncomfortable, because you know how he was in the past, and it's very reminiscent of that in this type of situation. That harsh.
And he's just kind of scary anyway.
Yeah. Right?
You could tell, too, he's been stressed. Every time something happens that he doesn't want to do, he's been pulling out a cigarette in every scene.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
It's definitely a part that I kept noticing. And even Brian brought it up to Mackenzie at one point. Mm-hmm. You know, does he usually smoke on air?
Mm-hmm. And, yeah. You know what I love, though, is the whole team was behind it. You know, it wasn't just Will McAvoy trying to do this and, you know, try and, you know, civilize people on his own. Everybody was behind it.
Defending him.
Right. Defending him. They were all for this type of debate. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't just a Will McAvoy, you know, ego thing or whatever. It was everybody that wanted to get the truth out from these candidates, and they thought this would be the way to do it.
Well, I love that. Even when you say that, that speaks especially to Don, who was given the opportunity then to have the debate. And he said, eat me, which was great. I mean, you said even his loyalty, that humanity that was brought into him, he didn't even want to sell out. And then they asked Sloan, you want to be a superstar? And she was, F you. Mm-hmm.
She's like, me? F you. But yeah, I got nervous for a second with Jim, because you would think that if it was going to be anybody that would sell out right there, it probably would have been him. Or Don.
Or Don.
Yeah, sorry, I was like, wait,
I'm thinking
Jim.
Of Jim again. Sorry, Don.
Yeah, that was nice to see him support.
And they all stood up for him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think also because Will had kind of had a little talk with him about, mm-hmm. which we'll get to a little bit mm-hmm. later, about mm-hmm. certain flowers
Some
that were sent
stuff.
There.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Don is starting to feel a part of, you know, Newsnight family again, even though
right.
he's at the later shift that way.
Yeah, I think that was... Weren't you leaving?
Yeah.
Didn't you have another show?
He was supposed to leave like a year ago.
Yeah. He's stuck
right.
around.
And he stayed around.
The whole season. There's
then you have another newscast to do.
And sometimes when you lose, it actually brings people closer together.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought them actually losing the debate helped bring
right.
back 2.0. Mm-hmm. It brought back the fire inside of all of them
mm-hmm.
to get some stuff done.
They're all struggling together
mm-hmm.
to put on the 2.0.
And it gets back to all the reviews that we had talked about earlier on how this newsroom can't be picture perfect all the time, and it wasn't. We saw today they all struggled with something they wanted to do, and their version of it didn't work.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it's never been picture perfect, though, with all mm-hmm. the episodes. There's always been something that's gone wrong, either in the newsroom or within the characters themselves or in their relationship with each other. It's always been a bit of a fiasco in some way, which has made it interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly. And tell us what you guys think if you hop onto iTunes and rate and comment. We want to hear from you. Do you think, you know, this brought them closer to together? Do you think the debates, you know, were correct to pull out from this TV show? Or do you think they should have gone on there? And tell a friend and make sure you rate and comment. We do read those and we try to, you know, we love hearing what you guys have to say about the show and rate and comment. We always appreciate it.
And there's only one episode left, so let us know what you thought of the season.
And
let
us know what you thought of the t-shirt, the sweatshirts, too.
Exactly. And with the sweatshirts, I loved, you know, that Maggie wanted Will to say so badly to ask Jim's Bachman about, you know, what does God sound like?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Since last episode, right?
Exactly.
They were talking about that, yeah.
Yeah, they brought it up again this one.
Yeah.
She's so disappointed that they didn't even get that far in
right.
the debate. So let's go into Mackenzie, Will, and Brian, that little love triangle we have.
Goodness.
That just keeps
it's
going
exhausting.
On.
I love the therapy sessions that Will's in with all these
yeah.
episodes. You can see his struggle as he talks to, what is the therapist's name?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I forgot. Kelly,
Shoot.
Do you know?
I can't remember. It's Dave Krumholtz is his real name.
Exactly.
Well, I just love it because he, you know, he doesn't open up to too much people in the work environment. But with this therapist, he's able to just, you know, be vulnerable and, you know, even run there, you know, on emergency, like we saw last episode, just to ask a question because he's feeling insecure or he has some sort of anxiety about something. And he can go there for his safe haven and be imperfect and ask the question and get an opinion from someone rather than having to appear like he always has it together in the newsroom.
It's helpful yeah. for the viewers, too, to hear the therapy session so that we don't have, you know, they don't have to spell it all out. You know, Will doesn't have to tell us everything that, you know, was going on in the background. So
yeah.
it's just nice to hear kind of the insight from the therapist and to know what's going on with Mackenzie.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. And we find that, well, we already know that Will's been struggling with it and he's trying to forgive her and he's looking for answers and even help me, Rhonda.
Yeah.
We find that's a little guilty reading pleasure.
I think he actually might have got some answers tonight because it was a very powerful scene.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because he's even like yelling at the therapist. He's like, you know, I know this already. I know what you're saying. I know big part of it is you're even right about it. I know I have to forgive her. I know I have to do all of this. But why can't I? What's the difference?
Right.
And the way that, you know, he kind of spelled it out for him on both sides, I mean, it kind of, you know, made a lot of sense. So hopefully a light bulb goes off and he can actually start trying to work it out and deal with it instead
right.
of being
mm-hmm.
so angry.
Yeah, I like when the therapist said you weren't rejected, you were betrayed, and that's
yeah.
why you
yeah.
can't forgive her. And the whole part, I think Will, obviously everything's always been about him, and for the therapist to blatantly said you weren't part of this equation,
mm-hmm.
this was all about Mackenzie and
right.
Brian, that's gotta hurt too. And that's
yeah.
a weird, different side that I think Will didn't get that he kept asking himself, what did I do wrong? And even on Help Me, Rhonda,
where
it said, what is that girl doing wrong that the guy would cheat on her? And he kept thinking, well, what was I doing wrong? Mm-hmm. And it had nothing to do with him.
Yeah.
And that's the hardest part, when you have no sense of control. And here's a guy who controls the newsroom, everything else in his life, and this is one aspect, a relationship that he can't control.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that was tough. You could see the aha moment he had then, but I still I still think he's going to have some trouble working through it, though.
Yeah, and we've all been there. That's when, for sure, your head is conflicting, because you know, like he says, like, I know what you're saying,
and intellectually
it makes sense, but when your heart is just not ready, like, it's gonna be tough, you know.
Yeah.
We actually saw too, Brian is having some issues with this whole thing.
Yeah,
you know, there's a little bit of struggle coming from him, because he keeps referring back to thinking that Mackenzie cheated on him with Will.
Yeah, maybe he should see the therapist.
I find that very interesting, too.
I think for him, in my opinion, it's more of an ego thing, because she dumped him the last time. You know, I don't see real love, that coming from a real place of love. I think he's struggling with it because it's his ego. Like, Mackenzie left me the last time, you know, and now here she is in the same room as the ex that, she cheated on me with him, or on him with me, you know, like, he's just, it's a territorial thing, I think, for him.
And he's watching Will make what he considers all these different mistakes in the newsroom, and then he comes out, he can't even get his pants on, and Brian's sitting there wondering,
that was the best.
What is Mackenzie, why is Mackenzie in love with this guy that can't even put on a pair of pants?
Yeah. Jeff Daniels' butt took up a lot of that screen in that second.
That was so funny.
In HD.
How long is Brian's assignment? When's he going to leave?
I know.
That's my question. One, that would be.
Okay. Well, I know, because he's pretty much trying to get him, you know, done with it, right?
Yeah. Right. But then,
enough is enough.
But now Will. Let's call him Jeff. Now Will's saying, can you deal with Brian for a couple more weeks or whatever?
Mm. Yeah, you have to have him in for the final episode next week.
That's true.
Just to finish that triangle.
Mackenzie's been doing well, though, having both of them in the same vicinity. You know, if that were me, I don't even know. I'd be hiding in my office or something.
What would you do?
Yeah. What would I do? I don't know.
I'm just saying.
First, I'd go buy Will some new pants. And if you guys need some new pants, you can go to Amazon.com.
This is true.
You could click through go to AfterBuzzTV.com first. Click the link, because it helps us. And it's great, you know, that we're able to still do this and connect to other audience members who watch, you know, all the different shows. But go to Amazon.com and get your pair of pants that fit, or anything else. I actually used to do that for work when I used to buy stuff. I used to go through AfterBuzz TV and click on that
Amazon.
For Amazon and buy items for that. So
cool.
My work's supporting us too. So on to another. Well, it used to be a triangle. Now it's a square. We've got Maggie, Jim, Don, and Lisa.
Yeah.
And we talked on it briefly, where Don's getting flowers from a lady friend, Jenna.
Not Gina, Jenna.
If I was Will, it'd be Gina.
Did they didn't read what the note said, right?
No, it said was, I think it was just to Don.
Like, thank you?
Well, I love that Jim signed for those flowers.
Yeah, and I didn't catch that till the end, but wow.
That was perfect.
So Jim knows all along that Maggie's not being treated as she should be.
Yeah. Exactly.
But
he's
that
not
also
saying
shows
anything.
The kind of guy that he is, because he's not going to get into it. That's none of his business.
Right.
You know, but he still was trying to spare her feelings by taking him to Will.
Right.
And not having him out in the open where she could see.
Until Mackenzie says, gather ye rosebuds while ye may.
Yeah.
And he's like, I gotta gather my rosebuds. I gotta go tell Maggie.
I thought for sure he showed up with roses then. Just to follow through on that whole metaphor.
It was kind of like, and this is separate, but a smash thing, like they didn't have phones or something. Like he had to rush over to her house.
Exactly. Right. Nobody has a phone here.
Yeah. It's like TV land. But anyways, sorry.
Anyhow.
I digress.
What did we think about that Don did that, though? Did you guys think it was expected, or did it take you by surprise?
Was it the friends were on a break? It's okay.
Oh, you mean that he did
yeah,
that?
Yeah, that he did that.
That he was going out with girls when they broke up.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't surprise me with his character.
I think it doesn't surprise me in most relationships, actually. I think when most people are broken up, I guess it depends on the relationship, but...
I just felt like their turnaround times or whatever you call it were so quick that there wouldn't have been time, you know? Like, this guy must have been like, oh, lunch. It's been, it's lunchtime. I broke up in the morning. Let's go on a date. Yeah. And then now it's dinner.
Do you think Don's the kind of guy, though, that can't be alone? Because that could also be why.
Yeah, it seems like he needs a lot of attention.
Probably. Mm-hmm.
He likes to be the center of attention.
From everybody, even with his coworkers.
And then we find out at the end that Don does tell Maggie about the flowers. What do you guys think of that?
I wonder what he's saying. It's all
they just played music over.
I know. I wanted to hear. Yeah. What he would say to her.
Outtakes, but I mean, it was guilt. You know, I think if he hadn't been caught, I don't know if he would have said anything.
No,
you know,
probably I don't think so. I think because he knew that Jim was at that point. He knew that Jim was going to say something to her, and that's why he rushed over to the house or whatever.
Yeah, Jim
then he's like,
oh,
crap, I got to come clean because this is about to happen.
Exactly. He probably feels at least I can be honest with our relationship if it's going to end on that, or at least maybe he's trying to let Maggie go in sort of in a certain way because Jim did come over and wanted to talk to Maggie.
Yeah, that was uncomfortable.
And poor Lisa.
Lisa
had a rough episode.
Yeah.
Poor Lisa, seriously.
Yeah, what happened with the whole abortion thing?
That came out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A little bit.
Well, but I was saying, I thought maybe that she was speaking about herself. Maybe she was carrying Jim's child and she was... And maybe I went on.
That'll be the cliffhanger for the next episode.
Like, my God, Kendra, that could be it.
No, because it sounded like she was saying, she was so passionate about it. And to not be close friends with Casey Anthony.
Yeah. It could be that, or maybe it could be that she herself was an abandoned child. I don't know. We can make whatever story up.
Lisa's backstory.
She wasn't wanted by her mother or whatever it might be.
So many patients for that therapist.
Seriously. I mean, it could just be as simple as she was saying, you know, that could be something she honestly does feel passionate about. You know, maybe she, you know, knew people that more than just, you know, going to school with Casey Anthony, but more girls that were in those situations, and maybe she's had an abortion before. Mm-hmm. And the way that people, you know, that's a really touchy subject too. And just like, you know, they've got into religion a little bit, now they kind of touched on that. You know, those are really, really hard subjects to discuss without, you know, offending so many people so easily. Right. You know, those are really, really tough topics to talk about in a diplomatic way.
And I was thinking also that Lisa, she didn't want to be on that show in the first place, so she probably figured if she was going to be on television, she was going to use this platform for something maybe that she believed in.
Right.
I think after Maggie changed, it, because when she gave her that card of things she could say, I think she just kind of went rogue and took it a step further.
Right. She was on a roll.
She needed more media training, I think. Like, more coaching. It was just strange.
I thought what they were doing was so valiant, though, with her. You know, like, oh, we can't say it ourselves. They're not going to let us say it. Well, we're going to have her say it, since she's open to it anyways. And then she flipped the switch, and then it got awkward with the whole abortion thing.
But at her job? Jeez, that was a little much.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the baby killer sign at her job later.
Yeah.
You know, that was unfortunate because she's a nice girl, but you can't find that. I loved when Jim went in there with Maggie earlier to convince her to go on.
Yeah.
Oh,
and he loved all the dresses.
Exactly. As a heterosexual man that randomly came off the street, that dress looks gorgeous on you. I would throw Tony's at your head.
Who was the one that said it would mean more if it was a homosexual
Maggie,
man?
I think it was Maggie. Yeah.
Which is why I love them together. They play so well off of each other. And it's so obvious.
They're so awkward together.
But then what if it happens and then that kind of dissolves that magic? Because now, you know, there's no tension. There's no anticipation.
There'd be a lot of cute, awkward pillow talk, I think, with them.
We can't have them get together till third season. That's what I'm going.
But anyway, okay.
So when we go with that, let's talk about, you guys have some news and gossip, right?
AfterBuzz TV News.
So one of the news things are lovely. We barely got to see him this episode. Terry Crews, who plays Lonnie Church, the bodyguard, he just got hired to join the cast of Scary Movie 5, which I thought was great. He's getting a lot of work.
I didn't even know that was another sequel.
Getting in the works, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
also in the news, Scary Movie 5 is coming out soon.
Thank you for that.
And then Kendra, you were saying he's
on, and now I lost the title again, Stars Are in Stripes, I believe it is.
On NBC,
Yeah, with Nick Lachey and some of the other stars, and they're all playing kind of, I guess, they're going through drills, kind of army drills for charity, so that's an interesting bit of news.
And Sarah, you said you had some.
Yeah, so for all the Dev Patel fans, what's he up to? Well, he's actually in an independent film. It was an official selection at the Berlin Film Festival this year. It's called About Cherry, and it's a little scandalous. It's about a young lady who is caught up in the porn industry.
The porn industry.
And he plays the best friend of the young porn star. And that's actually going to be playing in select theaters starting on September 21st, so coming up next month. So for all you Deb fans.
So it's going to be in theater?
Yeah, select theaters. Okay. It's already debuted at the festival, but it's going to show in select theaters on September 21st, so be sure to look out for that. What else are our newsroom peeps up to? Well, Olivia Munn, she's showing her funny side on a comedic YouTube parody that's gone viral. I think there's over 2 million hits right now. And it's called Ghost, the word for breast, but it starts with a T. And it's basically starring Olivia Munn and her pectoral region. And she's a good sport.
Look at you with synonyms there.
I guess you're keeping it very PG.
Yeah, I'm trying really hard
here. Well, the newsroom, they're swearing on it, but that's okay.
But she's a really good sport about it. Basically, it's about her fictional boyfriend is devastated because one morning they wake up and she's lost her tatas. So it's kind of shot like a horror trailer, and it's like, where have the tatas gone? I don't know. It's hilarious. You guys should check it out online on YouTube. Google Olivia Munn Ghost. T-I-T something.
Now that everyone's mixed up with what to search.
I'm sorry. I was trying to be PG about
just,
it.
Okay. If you look up Olivia Munn.
Yeah, it'll show
up. I'm
YouTube,
sure yeah,
Olivia Munn
YouTube,
boobs.
It'll be one of the top
there.
Ones.
But yeah, she's a good sport about it. It's not like raunchy or anything like that. It's actually pretty hilarious.
Well, kind of going back to the newsroom episode, I want to touch upon briefly the Olivia Munn and Neil's interaction.
Yeah.
Which actually was a decent part of the story today.
Yeah.
That he's trolling her and also talking about, you know, her tatas as well.
Talking about that, yeah.
They're a topic of discussion on all the message boards, I guess.
Yeah.
But they did find out that Neil found out at the end, too. By doing this, he found out who the death threat
person was. Who was making the threats to Will, right?
I thought that was very important. And it's nice to see Neil get a... Yeah. Maybe we'll see him as a reporter in the upcoming seasons,
right.
too.
Yeah, not just a ghost blogger.
Yeah, because in the beginning of the season, well, on HBO, you can see little kind of snippets and interviews with Aaron Sorkin and the cast. And I think he said that Dev's character was not necessarily supposed to be a main character, but they kept kind of finding things for him, and it's worked. So I think everyone's big fans of his.
I'm a huge Dev Patel fan.
Yeah.
Me too. He's great on this show. I was just reading an interview as well online earlier today that he was saying with this show that he had a kind of Wikipedia politics to keep up with it. He goes, I'm not nearly smart enough for this for this show, which he joked about, which was great.
Yeah, the Wikipedia thing was funny too.
So what do you guys have any predictions for the upcoming...
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Kelly, you want to start us off out there in Texas?
Oh, my gosh. Wow. I think, I don't know. There's just so much going on. I think Will and Mackenzie just need to get married on the season finale. Like, that's it. This is enough already.
Shotgun wedding?
Shotgun wedding, let's do it.
We should should be like three shotgun weddings. It should be like him and Mackenzie, then Jim and Maggie.
And Brian can be the officiant.
Right. Maybe Charlie and Leona need to go out on it for a night on the town.
There's a lot of tension there.
Yeah, that'd be cute. Get the stick out of her rear end.
Oh,
is that a little?
Jane Fonda, yeah. Watch out.
I know.
Sarah's coming for you.
Don't you dare shut down ACN.
Goodness. No.
Well, then we see her coming back in the preview.
Oh, yeah. Will's fine.
To fire somebody. Yeah. Mm-mm.
Sarah, what do you think? What are your predictions?
Do we think that's
going to
stick? Well, obviously, it's going to be a cliffhanger. I bet you it's going to be like, you're fired, and then roll credits. Then we're going to have to wait till next season to find out.
To know if it was true or not. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to have withdrawals, guys. That's my prediction after next week.
I know.
How long are we going to have to wait? When's the next season going to roll around?
Sometime in 2013.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that sounds...
Yeah, I think we're going to have to wait until, like, almost next summer. But, you know, maybe they'll surprise us and do the whole thing where they get them done faster and it'll be like girls and they're back in, like, 6 months.
Oh, that would be good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, well, in HBO, you got to go through a few other shows first. Mm-hmm. This Boardwalk's mm-hmm. up next and... goes back around.
Yeah.
Kendra, what do you think? What are your predictions?
Oh my gosh. Like Kelly said, there's so much going on, but I mean, I think the whole square, the love square, will start to kind of
line with two dots.
Well, not get resolved, but I think, you know, Lisa's going to find out that he wasn't really into her. But I still think, I'm worried that if Mackenzie and Dawn get together, it's just going to fizzle. Not Dawn. Sorry, Jim. There's so many names. That it may fizzle. So I'm worried. They may need to stay apart, like you said, until season 3.
So do you think that Maggie will forgive Dawn then with the flowers?
I think it's an easy out for her to race into Jim's arms.
I think we see that she kind of does, you know, for next episode at least.
Oh, because she kissed him.
But they always do this back and forth dance, and it's... because
he's
going
to rationalize that it was on a break.
Right.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
Yeah. it'll be interesting to see how they do all that. And then also, Mackenzie and Lonnie discover Will on the floor and he's in the hospital. Mm. It's kind of unexplained. But then he ends up back in the newsroom earlier. But here's a guy who's just under a lot of stress. He's going to be fired.
I know.
His ex-girlfriend's in there with the guy he cheated on. Although, granted, that's part of his own doing.
Right. I was thinking at first, like, oh, is this the doing of that, of the death, you know, the guy making the death threats? Like, did he do something or whatever, or she or whoever it was? But...
Oh, right.
Could be that, or it could be his health because he's so stressed out. I don't know.
Yeah, I want to see what Neil does with this information, or is that kind of it now that they discovered who it was? It ended.
Mm-hmm. And how serious the threat is, because it might be just, you know, internet comments.
Yeah, because he told Neil online to stay away from that. That's my hack.
Mm-hmm.
It's right. Like, what do you mean it's my hack? It's like, well, I'm the one, you know, Will equals, you know, dead.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to see how much that comes into play. Although I hope they keep Lonnie around either way, because he's a fun character to watch.
Yeah, he's good.
Well, thanks you guys for tuning in for another episode of AfterBuzz.
Yes.
And you can follow me, Kristen Carroll, at TheFan2C on Twitter.
And I'm at Kendra Cavasel.
I am at Sarah with an H Mendoza.
And then, of course,
and you can follow me at Kelly with an IE079.
So thanks you guys again, and
we'll catch you next week for
the final episode. That's so sad.
I know.
Well, thanks guys. I'll see you back in studio next week.
Thanks, Kelly.
Thank you, Kelly. We miss you.
From Pew.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.